Good morning. Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Rollin McFarland, one of the ministers of the Pine Top Church of Christ. I encourage you to open your Bible and to search the Scripture with me to see whether or not the things we teach are true. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, it commends the Jews of Berea for searching the Scriptures to see whether or not the things taught by the Apostle Paul were true. That should be our attitude also. If you have questions or comments regarding anything that we teach, we would like the opportunity to study the Bible with you. Check out our website at www.pinetopcoc.org and email us at pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com or like us on Facebook. Our desire and intent is to speak where the Bible speaks and to be silent where the Bible is silent, that we may indeed speak as the oracles of God. We invite you to the services of the Pine Top Church of Christ, 1102 Pine Top Road, Russell Springs, Kentucky, in the Windsor community of Russell County. We have Bible class beginning at 9 a.m. Central Time, followed by our worship service at 9:45, and then meet again at 4:30 Sunday evening. I consider myself to be very blessed, because my generation has grown up during what I think to be a very special time period. As I was growing, technology boomed from boxy PCs to tiny phones that process more than said PCs could have ever done. I grew up with the internet and social media in its various forms. Even the sheer availability of technology has blossomed so much in my lifetime. Used to, only a few people had access to the internet, and now it's the complete opposite. Truly, technology can be a very impressive tool. But like anything, we can definitely take something that is good and helpful and make it selfish and sinful. My lesson this morning is titled, Eye Hands Are the Devil's Workshop. Now please don't read too much into this title. I'm not saying that technology is literally from the devil and by nature a sinful thing. Technology can be an amazing tool to help with everyday questions, for getting information and resources you may not have local access to. It's also a great tool for a Christian. Used to, if you wanted to do a study on a specific topic, you either already had to know the Bible inside and out, or you would have to purchase a Bible dictionary or concordance. Asking questions was limited to the people you knew and their understanding of Bible topics. Now, not all these things are bad, they're exceptional, but they take more time, possibly days or weeks of time. With technology, we have immediate answers to any and all questions we may have. This, however, leads me into my first point about ever-present technology. It's easy to look up questions on the internet, but there is no substitute for the actual Word of God itself. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, it says, All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's important to know the source of the information we're getting off the internet. That's why it's paramount to have the Bible open and search the Scriptures to prove the passages referenced online. On Paul's missionary journeys, he taught the people about Jesus, and as I mentioned in the beginning of the program, the Bereans searched the Scripture to prove the things Paul was preaching to them about. In fact, in Galatians 1, verse 8, it says, But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul says, even if he were to come at a later time and preach a different gospel other than the one originally presented, then he himself should be cursed. Today, too many men and women with good and bad intentions twist the Bible to their own philosophies and ideas. The internet is great, but anyone can write anything. Revelation closes with this verse in chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. We must make sure we are putting our faith in God's word, nothing more and nothing less. Technology has allowed greater communication than ever before, but lacking physical contact, people treat these interactions with less and less care without realizing the damage we could be causing. People have the opinion that their social media is their own personal space, and as such can put whatever they want on it, and it shouldn't be anyone else's business. But as a Christian, is this really the case? If we post something political slamming Republicans or Democrats, or something that we believe but know others would disagree with, are we helping other souls reach Christ? Are we creating petty divisions that would hinder someone's obedience to the gospel through our teaching? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 13, "Wherefore, if meat makes my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." Paul is talking about a trivial matter of meats being offered to idols and then sold in a marketplace. He remarks in this chapter that these meats mean absolutely nothing. But if a brother had a weak conscience, and we eat those meats, troubling their conscience to be eating something for an idol or a false god, we cause them to stumble in their conscience. This relates back to my remarks on posting to social media whatever is on our mind. It may not be wrong that we think it, but if others would look at that post and be turned off from following Christ, it's not worth it. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, it says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing." We may have the right to post what we want, and we may be right in our thinking, but what matters more? Your politics and opinions, or your influence as a Christian? One of the greatest downsides of technology is the access to inappropriate and outright sinful practices under the pretense of privacy. Pornography, especially, is infinitely more easy to access than it was 25 years ago. The temptation is so great as well because it's easy to hide and no one would ever know it happened. Hebrews 4, verse 13 says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." All people need to understand this fact. Nothing we do is hidden from the sight of the Lord God. Along with the privacy we are afforded to commit sin is the immediateness of it. Temptation is more difficult to overcome when we can act upon it without a moment to think about the consequences of our actions. Back in 1 Corinthians again, chapter 10 and verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." God provides a way of escape, but sinful acts on our phones can be so immediate that we don't give ourselves time to see a way of escape. Parents especially need to be conscious of these dangers for their children. I guarantee they have seen images that would cause temptation to sin, even if they didn't desire to see it on their own. Peer pressure has become even more difficult to bear now that technology keeps kids linked almost 24 hours a day. It's the parents' responsibility to help train their child to handle these situations in a godly manner so that they cannot fall to these traps. Finally, even though technology can be such a help to us all, there can be a problem when we allow it to consume too much of our time and energy. The term idolatry doesn't just mean devotion to a false deity made by human hands. Idolatry is simply placing something else in the preeminent place of our lives where God should be, one more time in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Think about how these attributes can be expedited through the use of technology. God desires our service, and we cannot do that best on a phone or in front of a computer or TV screen. We need to live in a godly manner for the sake of our families, friends, and other loved ones. In Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Technology is a great tool, but the greatest contributions we can make is in service to God is the work of our heart. Let's search the scripture daily, study the context, consider all the inspired writer said, and divide the word of truth. In so doing, I think you will come to the conclusion that there is a God, that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself to provide atonement for our sins, that the Bible is His holy word, and that we will face this God on the day of judgment. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, If you love me, keep my commandments. Then in verse 21 he said, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Then in verse 24 Jesus said, He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. We show our love for Jesus not by saying how much we love Him, but by obeying what He has commanded. His commands are the commands of the Father. Therefore, we need to know what His commandments are so that we can keep them and thus be ready to stand before Him to give an account of our life. Thank you for being a part of this study. Until next Sunday at 7:15, have a blessed week.